welcome to the Fertility Conversations podcast. The goal of this podcast is to create more awareness about infertility and to provide support to people trying to conceive. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you will be encouraged. And now, here is your host, Ola.
Welcome to episode 11. Today I'm joined by an amazing guest, Dr. Shea. Dr. Shea is a fertility and conception expert. He's been a gynecologist for more than 10 years. His passion is to help couples achieve conception, carry the pregnancy to term, and deliver safely and stress-free. He's very active on social media and can be reached on Instagram at ask_Dr. Shea. His details will also be in the show notes, so you can reach him at any time. So welcome, Dr. Shea, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Nice to finally be here.
Yes. So to start off, please tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do.
All right. Like you've introduced me, I'm Dr. Shea. Mm-hmm. I am a gynecologist and an obstetrician, and I'm fertility and conception expert. I've been in obstetrics and gynecology for more than 10 years. And then over time, I've seen that a lot of people are going through issues because they don't have basic knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. Especially pregnant women, a lot of them are dying because they are not having adequate knowledge. So that's why I started coming online to give information and give knowledge. So yeah, those that are trying to get pregnant and those are already pregnant. So and then that's why I'm more into fertility and conception.
Right.
So it's nice to be here again. So that is a little about me.
Wonderful. So if a couple is trying to conceive without success, how long after trying would you advise them to visit a clinic? And should they both be visiting the clinic for to get tested?
Yeah, if a couple, from the definition of infertility, I'm going to start from the definition of infertility. Infertility is the inability of a couple to conceive after a period of a year, following regular sexual intercourse. If the woman is, depending on the age of the woman, if the woman is less than 35 years, that's 1 year can actually be of infertile. But if the woman is 35 years and above, it usually waits for 1 year because the clock of that woman is gradually going.
Right.
So we encourage that by 6 months, 6 months after marriage or after that they start trying to get pregnant, if the woman is more than 35 years and above, the couple are supposed to start, you should see a specialist and you should start going through tests. So, but if they are more than, if the woman is less than 5 years, if the woman is 25 years, or less than 30, they can wait for a year. But while they are waiting, they must have been having regular sexual intercourse. So that is, so by 6 months, if it is 35 years and above, by 1 year, if it is lower than 35 years, that's when they are expected to start.
Okay, and I know that you said the woman about her age as well. So when they're going for testing, should it be just the woman or both of or the couple?
Yeah, from the definition I said is the inability of a couple.
Right.
So getting pregnant is a couple thing.
Right.
It shouldn't be the woman alone. In fact, a lot of times, men are actually the major issue when it comes to getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it shouldn't be the woman alone. Most of the time, it's the woman that start looking around, then moving around, seeing specialists around. So it should be both the husband and the wife or both partners that should visit the fertility expert first, and they will talk to them, and then the investigation will start.
Right. And I know our focus today is about male factor infertility. So for people listening and not sure what that is, can you tell us what male factor infertility is?
Male factor infertility is when a man is unable to achieve conception with a woman, as in when a man is not able to impregnate a woman.
Okay.
After the period of 6 months, if the woman is more than 35 years or 35 years and
right.
a period of a year, it's better than 35 years. So if a man has been with a woman and that man has not been able to impregnate that woman, that is when we say male factor infertility. And that is, it has been established that it's from the man.
Right.
That's where you can say it is a male factor infertility.
Okay. And what are the causes? What causes male factor infertility?
Okay. The causes can be, I'm not able to choose.
Okay.
It can be a problem with production of sperm. Because sperm, the sperm is what makes a male a man.
Okay.
It's what makes a man to be able to impregnate a woman. So if the production, it could be a problem with the production of the sperm.
Mm-hmm.
Then it can be a problem with the transportation and deposition of the sperm. So I'm going to divide into those two. So if for the production, anything that can affect sperm production, things like medical condition, if the man is diabetic, if he's, he has kidney problems, it can affect production. If he has immune problems, problems like they are from infection, that can, we call it mumps, viral infection, that can affect the testes, and it can destroy the testes. Now, if a man is taking alcohol, smoking, using hard drugs, all these entertainment drugs, cocaine, marijuana, Indian hemp, all these drugs, they have a way of destroying the testes, and thereby destroying the sperm, the sperm cells. Now, there's something we call testicular torsion. It usually occurs in younger males. Those are adolescents and young adults. Mm-hmm. Usually occurs in them. So if the test is, if you see a man, he has scrotum.
Right.
Inside that scrotum, there are two testicles. Now, testicles is just like fruit. If you see a fruit from a branch,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's something that is attaching that fruit to the branch.
Right.
Or that tree. Uh-huh. So the testicles have a stalk attaching into the body. Inside that stalk, there is blood vessels, there are nerves that are passing through that stalk. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some points that testicle will start twisting on itself. And when it's twisting, it will be blocking the vessels that are transporting the blood. And once the blood is not entering into the testes, then that testes will die. And once it dies, that means that there is no production of testes again. And there is no production of cells again. So in people that have testicular torsion, they can have it. There are some hormonal imbalances that can happen in the man that can affect production. If the testosterone is low, if the prolactin is high, we call it hyperprolactinemia. If the prolactin is high, if there are other like thyroid problems, mm-hmm. if there are thyroid problems, it can also affect. Then there are some other things like the geology problems. Men that are exposed to X-rays or necessarily, mm-hmm. those that are exposed to heat, welders, those that are working in laundry, where they make all these metals, like all those places, they can have problems with production of sperm.
Wow.
Now, for those with transportation and deposition, after sperms have been, after the sperm cells have been produced, they are during sexual intercourse, they are moved through some pipes, and that pipe now brings the seminal fluid of semen into the vagina. Now, if anything happens to that pipe or those pipes that they are blocked, can affect the transportation and deposition.
Okay.
So in cases where there is obstruction of the sperm, especially from sexual intercourse, and sexual transmitted infection, there are some people that suffer from gonorrhea, chlamydia infections that have affected those pipes. So such people, the pipes are already blocked, either partially or totally. They will not be able to deposit the sperm. Then if they have medical conditions, like hypertension, diabetes, sickle cell, this can affect them being able to have sexual intercourse regularly, adequately. People that have erectile dysfunction.
Right.
And some people that they have abnormality of the penis. Either the pipes are not present, they are absent, or the penis itself. You know, when you say penis, there is a hole at that middle, at that top point.
Right.
And some people that hole is not there, under the penis. So in first people, they can have problems with depositing the sperm into the vagina. So those are the two major, those are the few of all the problems that can affect, that can cause male factor infertility.
Okay, that seems like a whole lot of possibilities. Do you think men in general are aware of this? Do you think there's a lot of awareness about all this possibilities?
A lot of people are not aware, especially like this particular question I talked about.
Yeah.
A lot of young guys, when they have such, they will go to a chemist or a pharmacist when they're supposed to have gone to the hospital. And the chemist will just give them antibiotics and analgesia, something that will relieve pain. And it is not the pain and the antibiotics that they need at that point. But I mean, surgery to untreat that testis. And for a lot of people, and all they use the pain relief and then they are relieved, there is no problem. They are already cured, they've already cured the testis. So they are not actually aware. A lot of people are not aware. People that have sexual intercourse, sexual intercourse infection, that don't use drugs anyhow and are not well treated. If they are not aware, they are already affected. There are a lot of people that are actually not aware that they have those issues. They don't, a lot of people don't feel the woman alone that having the issue. But there are a lot of men that are having those issues. No.
Yes, I can imagine, because again, lots of people, like you said, sexually transmitted infections, and they might not get it treated properly, and then they just keep carrying on and not know that it's impacting them and having a potential issue in the future. Wow.
Yeah.
And so, like you noticed some treatment options, like, for example, people go to the chemist instead of going to the hospital. So for most of these issues you noted, are there treatment options, like ways to treat them, if the people get to the clinic early enough, for most of the reasons?
The first thing about treatment is the man needs to see a specialist. It is not something that you go to meet a chemist or you go to meet a pharmacist to treat you. It is something that you need to see a fertility specialist, or who we call those people that we call you urologists.
Right.
Urologists are those that are involved with male organs.
Mm-hmm.
So they are actually also involved in management of male infertility, male factor infertility.
Okay.
So the first thing we need to see is a fertility specialist. And that fertility specialist will now look, they will interact.
Mm-hmm.
When they interact together, from there we know what actually is the problem.
Right.
From the interaction, we'll examine the man, see if there are any problems on the man, then we can now request for investigation.
Test. Okay.
It's from the test that we know, is this man producing sperm? Are the sperms adequate? Those sperms, are they moving well? Are they normal looking?
Mm-hmm.
We look at all those things. Then from there, we look at every other thing we need to look at. Then the treatment option will now be either lifestyle modification. So there are some people that their major problem is they are obese.
Right.
They are fat. And when you are fat, like I talked about it, if a fat person, an obese person will generate it. Because they are fat every year. And the scrotum is, it will be, instead of the scrotum to have hair, the fat, the tummy that is down the last part, will just cover all that place and they eat the place up. And when you eat as much, it will destroy a lot of the fat cells. So a lot of them will need to lose weight. A lot of them will need to stop taking alcohol, stop taking those hard drugs. Then a lot of them will need to actually stop smoking. And not only stop smoking, but stop being around smokers. There are a lot of people that don't smoke, but they are around their friends that are smokers.
So the secondhand smoking,
Secondhand smoking. So secondhand smokers, they even take more of these toxic substances, more than those that are actually
smoking.
Smokers. Wow. So they need to go away from the smokers. They need them. You can look at them if they have medical conditions like hypertension, diabetes, heart problems, any medical condition, they need to be treated. Then from there, you now look at, okay, what is actually the major other problem? Is it that the sperm is not enough, or they're throwing the sperm? There are some that is just giving medicine, medical drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs generally. Just giving drugs will improve their, will boost their sperm production.
Okay.
There are some drugs that I'm not going to start mentioning those.
Of course, yeah.
It depends on what exactly is the problem.
The diagnosis,
Then it could be surgical. Like if some people have varicose is when the veins around the testes, when they become enlarged, and blood now starts pulling in those veins. And when blood pulls, that means the heat is generated, and that heat will affect the testes. So there are surgeries that can be done to remove or to remove those enlarged veins.
Yeah.
Those that have blood tubes, surgically they can be corrected.
I see. Okay.
So then for those that actually you find that they have problems, maybe they don't have enough sperm, or there's something called mild oligospermia or moderate oligospermia. That means the sperm concentration is low, mildly or moderately. Or maybe the movement of the sperms are not good. They are not that effective. You can do what we call intrauterine insemination. Intrauterine insemination means that we take sperm cells and we introduce directly into the womb instead of depositing it into the vagina and asking them to move. It takes a longer time for them to move from the vagina to where they are going to fertilize it. So we can shorten
that journey,
the distance by introducing the sperm directly into the womb. Then if that one is not possible, we can do what we call IVF, in vitro fertilization. Then there's something we call intracytoplasmic sperm insemination, in which you take, even if you can get one single sperm from a man, that man can still get a woman pregnant. All we just need is to get that one singular sperm and introduce it directly into the head of that woman. And when we introduce it, and if everything works well, then that man will get pregnant. That woman will get pregnant.
So that's like ICSI then. Okay.
ICSI, So those are the different treatment options. For men suffering from. Then we have donor sperm too.
Especially
for men that don't have anything, they can get donor sperm, and maybe UIUI for the wife.
Right.
You take the sperm and introduce directly into the womb of the wife, or they can do IVF with the donor sperm for the wife. So those are the different options.
And donor sperm is readily available in Nigeria?
Yes, readily available.
Okay.
Very available. There are a lot of men donating sperm to all the fertility centers. Those working, they donate sperm, and they are readily available. Depending on the kind of man you want.
Right. Okay.
The man is tall, light in complexion. Maybe a master degree holder. Secondly, school liver. You can determine.
I see. Okay.
That one also determines the long way how the baby will be.
Right.
Sperm of a PhD holder is definitely going to be better, genetically.
Uh-huh.
At least that's what we feel.
That's what people feel, right.
Yeah, because that person, at least intellectually has been tested.
I see,
So, it's different from somebody that dropped out of school, because the person cannot cope with the academics. So, there are a lot of sperm donors now.
The
only problem is just that you cannot know if you have you know, if you're a spam donor, you cannot know how many people your spam
you have. Oh, I see. Okay, so there's no, like, you're not sure how many other children.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. The donor sperm has been used for.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And I noticed you mentioned heat a lot during about a problem for people's sperm. So should men be avoiding heat then, hot showers and hot baths? Should they be avoiding that in general, or it doesn't matter?
It is one of the major issues with men now, because there are a lot of things that we do now that increase it on the sperm, on the testes.
Right.
Because if you see the way God made a man, should put the testes outside the body, because the body needs to be temperature regulated. And if during each period the scrotum will dangle away from the body, and during cold period the scrotum will move close to the body because we need that temperature. Now there are things that men are doing now: putting laptops on the lap. When you are working with laptops, putting it on the lap, laptops generate it.
Yeah.
Using all the sauna that we go to.
Oh yeah, okay.
Being in this warm bath.
Yeah, saunas and baths. Jacuzzis,
jacuzzi bath, or necessarily often it can also be a sort of heat. Putting phones in the pocket.
Oh, wow, phones. Lots of people do that,
it's close to the testes. Then the varicose that I talked about, is also a form of it. Then there are some people, their work, the place they work. Like I said, those that work in all these metal, that you have to eat metal.
Like welders
welders. Those that are working in the foundry, people that are working with radiation centers, they are all getting exposed. The people that are wearing nylon pants.
Yeah, some cyclists, people that cycle a lot, bikers and stuff.
Yes. Nylon pants generate it. And if you wear nylon pants regularly, it's going to affect, the heat will affect their sperm paper. So those are the things that it can
cause. I see. Okay. And I sometimes encounter men that say things like, well, now they're married, but they will say like, well, I had a child when I was in university, and so I'm fine. I've been tested before I can have a child. So my spouse should be the only one being tested because I've fathered a child back in the day. So would that be a valid thing? Like, I mean, if a couple came to you, would that be valid as a reason not to get the husband tested?
It's not going to be valid. It's not going to be valid. I've had few women that will come to me that they tell me that their husband already has two children, and they just want to find out that they know that they are the one that is having the problem, not the man. I say no. Because after a man has children, the man has the last child, he just 6 years. So that means he had the last child 6 years ago. There are a lot of events that will have happened. One, the man is older. Though it's not as important as in women, it's also a factor in men.
Really?
Older you get, the older you get, the poorer your sperm becomes. It's just that it's not as prominent in men like it is in women.
That man is older.
That man could have suffered from any form of infection, sexual transmitted infection, which could have destroyed the sperm cells, or could have even affected the pipes. So that man could have had medical issues, medical conditions. It can affect him from even performing sexually optimally.
Right.
The man cannot direct the function. So there are a lot of things that will happen to the man.
True, okay.
That can change the way the man can also, the lifestyle of the man can be smoking, can be taking alcohol. All those things, one way or the other, they will have affected the sperm.
Okay.
So the fact that the man had children before doesn't mean that you cannot have problems. I think even husband and wife, that they've had a child or two children before, and before child or second child, they have just been looking for 3-4 years before the girl and the husband has those bank accounts. And the same man had already impregnated her about 3-4 years ago. And he's not having those bank accounts. That didn't happen. So there are a lot of issues like that I've seen enough.
On
this issue.
Okay. And are there things that men can take to boost their testosterone, or like injections or pills, or should they be coming to see a specialist like yourself? Like, should people really be treating themselves at home, or should they be?
All right. If a man has male factor in his life,
that
man should not treat himself at home. One, if he's treating himself at home, he's wasting the woman's time. Because the older the man gets, the lower the possibility of her getting pregnant. So he's wasting the woman's time.
That's okay.
One. Apart from the fact that he's wasting his own time, too. Then that person needs to see a specialist. The testosterone use that sperm boosters. There are sperm boosters that men can use. Like, they are normal, natural boosters. Supplement containing vitamin C, vitamin K, containing folic acid, containing zinc.
Right.
All these ones improve sperm count and sperm movement, sperm mobility. So those supplements, if a man takes those supplements regularly, it can help to boost.
Okay.
Food. There are some food that the man can eat that can also help to boost sperm. Or fruit. Let me say food and fruit. Like citrus food. Citrus food, they contain vitamin C a lot. You get vitamin C. Nuts. Granules, cashew nuts. All those ones, they can help the man. Then old grains like rice and all these things, they have some chemicals in them. They can also help the man to improve it. They can boost sperm.
Okay.
Oyster shells and oysters, they can also help to boost the man's sperm.
Right.
So generally, there are a lot of sperm boosters. There are drugs that we use too, that we can use to boost sperm.
Right.
But the natural ones that are readily available that men can use easily. Those are the ones I've mentioned. And then once you start taking those ones, it can also help. If what is wrong is not something that is that has affected any organ or any structure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those ones can help to boost the sperm. If every other thing is fine.
It's fine. Okay.
It can help to boost the sperm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So now you mentioned some supplements like vitamins, something that men can potentially take, and even some natural things. And of course, you noted that there are a lot of treatment options for male factor infertility. If it's for a man that just has erectile dysfunction, which of course will impact his ability to impregnate his wife naturally, are there also treatment options for that to help him treat the erectile dysfunction? Yes. Then, okay.
There are treatment options, but the first thing is the man must be special.
Okay.
That's the first thing.
And is that something you do? Is that something you do as well? Okay.
Yeah. Completely specialist to do. If you find that you need to co-manage with a urologist. But majorly erectile dysfunction, if it has, because there are a lot of causes for erectile dysfunction, it is psychological.
Oh, I see.
Man can just need psychological therapy.
Okay.
Can just need sex therapy to see. It can just be that the man needs a mental health therapy.
Okay.
To see and relieving. Some people can just be stressed when they are going through that, it's affecting their erection.
I see.
Right. Okay. From it could be major problem.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that maybe they have hypertension, maybe that they have diabetes, or have any other medical condition. Like those conditions, there are people that will usually manage with. For people that are having such problems, then it could be problem with the organ itself.
Okay.
Like if your organ, if there are some muscular or something that looks like muscular structure mm-hmm. inside the organ, if they are affected, it could affect a man's ability to have erection. So in such cases, it depends on what is causing the problem that will determine how the man will manage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it could be that the man will manage with a urologist or the manage with a physician or it could be like a sex therapist or a mental health physician, depending on what, because and all the other may just be that the man should just have a lifestyle modification.
I see, okay.
If the man is obese, because when the man is obese, it affects the man's ability. One, it affects the confidence mm-hmm. of the man. The man has superiority complex because he's obese. Then it affects the function. The man will not be able to, you know, having sex is just like running.
Mm-hmm.
An obese person will have difficulty with running. So it's just the same way. So the person will need to just go and lose weight.
Right.
Maybe that the person needs to stop drinking alcohol or stop smoking or stop taking all these drugs. Because all these drugs, a lot of people are using all these enhancement drugs.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are even causing more harm than good. So it may be that if you just stop those drugs first, then let them be reviewed by a specialist, then from there, the option of treatment will be instituted.
Okay, wonderful, thank you. And what will you advise young men to do to protect their fertility, if you were to advise young men in general?
Well, I would advise young men to know that whatever they do during the growing up period can have effect on them being able to impregnate a woman later.
Mm-hmm.
Their lifestyle is very important. The lifestyle, any lifestyle that they are into now can determine if they will be able to father a child later in life. They should be careful with smoking. Smoking is not good in any way. It's not good in any form.
Mm-hmm.
As much as possible, a young man should not smoke. If the person is planning to father
a family, yeah.
Yes, and have a good child, because apart from the fact that it affects sperm production, it affects the DNA of such sperm. Can affect the kind of child that the person will breed. So alcohol is there, they should reduce alcohol. So alcohol, as much as possible, there is a quantity that you know that, okay, if you take maybe a social drinker, at least the minimum.
Okay.
You shouldn't take alcohol excessively.
Mm-hmm.
You should know that. Then when they are, you should practice safe sex. Safe sex is, you prevent yourself from having sexual transfer infection by using condoms. Especially if you have multiple sexual partners. So, because once you have, and once you find out that you have the infection, you get to the hospital as soon as possible, as fast as possible, so that you can be well treated. Don't go to a clinic. Don't just go and buy over-the-counter drugs. A lot of people have destroyed those fights because of over-the-counter drugs.
Drugs, right.
And then, and they should not use drugs anyhow. A lot of guys are trying to build muscles, they're on steroids. They're trying to, build muscles,
bodybuilders and gym.
Steroids.
Yeah.
All the steroids have effect on the testosterone. And once the testosterone is affected, that person will have problems with sperm production.
Right.
So there are a lot of things they need to watch and not just live their life anyhow. Then if they have any scrotal swelling, any kind of scrotal swelling, within 4 hours of that swelling, they must get to the hospital and go to the right hospital. Or just go to any hospital where they don't give them antibiotics and pain reliever.
Mm-hmm.
They should go to a good hospital. Especially, all they need is just surgery to reverse the problem and stop further treatment.
Right.
So it's very important for them to know all these things. Laptops, because as much as possible, reduce the number of times they put laptops on their side.
Okay.
Phones, as much as possible, try to reduce the number of times they put it close to your school. Generally, when you put them in this pocket. So all these things are very important for men, for young men growing up.
Wonderful. Thank you. And there seems to be an increase in cases of male factor infertility. Is this... So now, should we be telling young people to freeze their sperm, young men, or is just, like, I'm just wondering, has it always been this way, or there just seems to be a recent increase in issues affecting male fertility?
Male factor infertility has been becoming more rampant.
Okay.
So it was not like this initially. Though initially there was no testing like this.
Right.
We have better opportunity to test. We have better equipment now, like in those days. But in those days, it has been found that the sperm count has been decreasing every decade in men.
Oh, wow.
And then why? Because in those days, people don't live a lot of sedentary lifestyle. People go
they're
to
more
farm,
active, yeah.
They're more active. The number of cars in those days are not as many as what we have now.
Yeah.
People tend to walk more, they go on bicycles. So people becoming fat unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So people are more active. The kind of food they eat those days is not like junk that we eat now.
Yes.
We eat more junk now.
A lot of burgers.
So, and those things are affecting men. In those days, they eat more vegetables, fruit. They eat more good food, which we don't have now. Then we have more factories, more industries.
Oh, okay.
There are more industries now.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these industries, they have inside them, all these eat affect.
Men as well.
In one way or the other. Things like drugs now. There are some drugs that are not too common in those days that are very common now.
Okay.
All the cocaine, marijuana, all these drugs. There are a lot of hard drugs now that people are using, which are not in those days. All these steroids that we are talking about too. I mean, people in those days use steroids.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are using steroids so much now. And all these lifestyle that you are talking about, smoking, alcohol, a lot of cigarettes that just start coming in recently. So maybe in the last 40 years, and then a lot of these things start coming in. So a lot of these things change. Over time, and then you have ozone layer that is affected.
People
are taking the light more than before. So a lot of things are combined, both environmental and social factors.
Okay.
They are combining to affect fertility in men. And
I see.
Those are the things that are causing these things to affect men now. So it's increasing in men now compared to
back in the
before,
days.
Because all the things that I listed.
And so what are some of the services that you offer? If a couple has been trying to conceive and they're wondering where to go, what are some of the services that you offer to couples or individuals looking to conceive?
Depending on what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And, first of all, we offer testing for couples. First, we talk with couples, we have dialogue with them. From the dialogue, we may likely have an idea of where the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And we confirm more through test. So we test couples to know who has issues. Now, whoever has issues, from there we treat. If the woman is not having issues, or both of them give drugs, if it is important. If it is necessary, we treat with drugs initially.
Mm-hmm.
There are some drugs, especially for if the problem of the woman is not having anything to do with the issue. Once the tubes are blocked in a woman, that woman is not likely going to have, it's not going to get pregnant through the natural means.
Naturally, okay.
That woman will likely get pregnant through in situ vaginalization. If what is blocking the tubes are not things that can be opened up. Because once, if the tubal blocking is a major, the particular is not the major that is blocking their tubes.
Okay.
Among the doing what we call it is a normal test that we use to check the
to see if it's not blocked, right?
The tube.
Okay.
Yeah. Most of the time, by the time you do that, it says it usually opens up the tube.
Okay.
And when you open it up, you say, okay, the tubes are not blocked. But if it is actually that the tubes are blocked, those kind of patients, they will need in situ fertilization. If the man has severe sperm problem, that man will also need in situ fertilization or donor sperm. So, but we do the medical management, we do intrauterine insemination.
Okay, that's IUI.
That we don't include IUI. Mm-hmm. We do IVF, but we collaborate with some centers
okay.
for some form of IVF. So we do all these things. We have centers that we can say, okay, go to this center, we have stored
okay.
what you can leave this file that we cannot do. Okay, you can go to this place. We have collaboration with
other company clinics. Okay. Yeah. So if a couple is trying to conceive and they're younger than 35 and they try 6 months without any success, they can come to you and have a consultation and then you can do some tests. Yeah. To find out what the problems are.
Yeah, okay. If we find out that if the couple are less than 35 and we find out that there's a major issue, it's going to wait for 1 year.
Right. Okay.
We find out that from our interaction, we find out that there is a major issue with the couple. We don't usually wait for 1 year before we start taking care of them. But if we find out there is no problem, that a lot of couples, their major problem is they are not having sex. And when you are not having sex, you cannot get pregnant. It does there, some people tell you that they have sex once a week or once or twice a month. It's not with somebody except by the chance and by the luck. Mm-hmm. That is when somebody that is having sex once a week or twice a month will get pregnant. It is not going to be possible. You are supposed to have sex at least 3 times a week on alternate days. And you must have had it for a year before you can see you have problems.
Right.
So, that is what you need to do, but then you just counsel them on things they need to do, put them on supplements and all those things. So, it all depends on what we find out at the time.
Okay, that's wonderful. So, as a wrap up, are there any words of encouragement? Hope from you for couples or individuals trying to conceive, maybe dealing with male factor infertility.
Yeah, I would say is that there's no impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
There's no impossibility when you're having male factor infertility. There is no impossibility. The worst that can happen is for you to have a donor sperm. That is the worst. And nobody will say that it is not your child. Nobody will say that it is not your own. Nobody will know that, okay, you took donor sperm. So a lot of guys are going through all these problems. One, they should learn to come out. They should learn to come out. You cannot hold it and stay alone with it. A lot of things, if they come out early, you can be well treated on time.
Mm-hmm.
Than to wait and allow the thing to get worse. So I will encourage men that they should know that they can be the major problem in the family.
Okay.
And I will encourage men too before, because I found out that a lot of men, they would have had issues, they would have been having issues with their wives. They would have been accusing their wives. Their wives are actually the ones that is giving them the issue. Until they will not find out that they are actually the main problem. And by that time, their sense of they just start developing conflict. They will now start looking sober, you don't need to get to that point. You should work with your wife. You should not abuse your wife, not fight your wife because you have not been able to stay present. Because it could be that you are actually having a problem. So if you have already destroyed everything before, you now get to know that you are the one having the problem, then that is when there will not be issues in the family. There will not be breakups and all those things. So I would encourage men to be careful when dealing with their wives, especially when trying to stay present. I would encourage them that they should not suffer in silence. You can only talk to a specialist. It is very, very important to talk to a specialist. You can talk to a specialist on your own. If you don't want your wife to know first,
okay, so they can come to you and get tests done without bringing the wife,
they can get the test just to check. And then if they have problems, then start taking care of it. But don't make the wife to suffer unnecessarily. Because a lot of men have made their wife to suffer. And that's why they are not even confident enough to tell the wife that they are the one that is having problems when they get to know. But if you have worked with the wife, right from the outset, if they now know, a lot of women, they stay with their husband, irrespective of what they do, they stay, unless they have been maltreated before, that's when they will leave. So women are wonderful women. So I would encourage them to be careful and know that nothing is impossible. That you may get expensive, but it is not impossible.
That's wonderful, Dr. Shea. It's been pretty so informative. All the options you've noted, and like you've said, men should come out early, come for tests, and they can come by themselves, not fight with their wives, work with their wives, and there are many treatment options. And even if they have to use a donor sperm, like you said, there are many options for them. They can choose the type of donor sperm, and then no one has to know unless they choose to tell that person. So there are options out there, and people should come out early and seek treatment early so they can get the outcome they desire. Thank you so much, Dr. Shea. As you've all noted, Dr. Shea has told us so much about male factor infertility, about infertility in general. I feel like I'm almost a specialist now listening to you. So thank you so much. I know you took out of your very busy time to speak with us today. If people want to reach you, they can. I mean, you're very active on Instagram at ask_Dr. Shea. Okay, so
and
that's.
You can also contact me on WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp, okay. Okay, so. Okay, so for people calling from out, so +234. Yeah.
Yes, for 234-8066-27-5937.
Perfect.
So they can reach me on WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp as well.
Then they can also check our YouTube channel. They can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have some videos there for people that are trying to get pregnant or for those that are pregnant.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Also ask_Dr. Shea.
Okay, so also ask_Dr. Shea for your YouTube channel. All right, that's wonderful. Thank you. Okay, so you all see lots of ways to reach Dr. Shea. You can reach him on YouTube, on WhatsApp, on Instagram. He's very active on Instagram. He's on there every day. So if you message him, he will definitely respond to you. It's been a pleasure having you here, Dr. Shea. Thank you so much. I'm sure all listeners have benefited so much from this informative session with you. And we look forward to having you join us again in the near future. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Fertility Conversations podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Fertility Conversations. If there are any topics you would like to have discussed, please send an email to fertilityconversations@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. Thank you again for listening. Take care of yourself and do stay hopeful.